107.5 FM, W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Jurors resumed deliberations this morning in the case of Hunter Biden, accused of lying on the form to buy a firearm in 2018. ABC News Chief Legal Analyst Dan Abrams.
It's a pretty straightforward case legally. I mean, the defense has provided a possible answer if you want to find not guilty, which is this idea that the prosecution has the burden to prove the case beyond a reasonable doubt. And the defense is essentially saying, are you sure it was knowingly? Did he know that he was a drug addict at that moment?
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is back in the Middle East, urging Hamas to accept the hostage release deal with Israel on the table. The UN Security Council this week voting in favor of an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. Apple jumping into the race to bring generative AI to more people during its Worldwide Developers Conference. The tech giant announced it's getting help from OpenAI's ChatGPT technology. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The mayor of Waupun says there's no need to close the local state prison. The lockup is 176 years old and four inmates died there in the last year. Ron Bishop says the problems at the prison are for state officials to solve. The Department of Corrections is Waupun's leading employer. Observers say four state Senate seats are competitive this year as Democrats try to take the majority in as soon as 2 years.
If you don't win all four, you're okay. You can get there. If you win just two, that's really tough. That makes it challenging. So for Democrats, they want three. Three gives them a pretty good chance for 2026.
J.R. Ross of WisPolitics speaking with Wisconsin Eye. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Nurses at Ascentia Health's Third Street Clinic and Patient Flow Hospital in Duluth have announced plans to vote on joining the Minnesota Nurses Association. Nurses at the Third Street Clinic are the latest in a string of Ascentia locations that have voted to unionize, saying they want a seat at the table to improve working conditions, get fair wages and benefits, and help decide how care is provided to their patients. Ascentia officials say they support the nurses' right to unionize, but believe they should work directly with hospital leadership. Two people were killed in a motorcycle crash in Douglas County on Sunday. According to the Douglas County Sheriff's Office, a 23-year-old man and a 23-year-old woman were killed when their motorcycle collided with a car at County Highway E and Orchard Drive just outside Superior. Both were pronounced deceased at the scene and both were wearing helmets. Law enforcement authorities have not released the names of the two victims who were killed in the crash, nor what factors may have caused the crash to occur. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers minicamp is underway.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where the Packers are holding practices this week before their summer break. GM Brian Gutekunst asked, has the team ruled out using a one-year franchise tag on quarterback Jordan Love?
Oh, I don't think we'd ever say that. You know, things can change, but that's not what we're focused on. We've got, you know, a lot of time here, and I think the thought process is to get Jordan locked up and move forward that way.
The Packers announcing family night will be Saturday, August 3rd. The team holding a practice in pads inside Lambeau Field, followed by fireworks. Tickets still just $10 per person. Baseball tonight, the Brewers and Blue Jays. For game two of their three-game series, the crew winning 3-1 last night. Milwaukee running out of pitchers. Pat Murphy telling reporters 25-year-old lefty Robert Gasser likely done for the season, along with Wade Miley, Brandon Woodruff. Well, that means 22-year-old right-hander Carlos Rodriguez will get his first major league start tonight for the Brewers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers and thunderstorms with a high near 75. For tonight, mostly clear, lows around 55. Showers and thunderstorms possible for your Wednesday, otherwise mostly sunny, and highs near 86. For Wednesday night, more showers and thunderstorms.
Currently, 56 degrees.
One, two, three.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Sync radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
When you try Grandpa's barbecue, will it be sweet? No. Fiery hot, fruity, or honey flavored? We think not. Instead, Grandpa's barbecue is the true original flavor of barbecue. Without the hype, the additives, or the hoopla. Because this is a family recipe that's handed down by Grandpa himself. Grandpa's Barbecue. Available in select stores and online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, be with us next time. It is Tuesday Tangents with Luke Mathers and Jay Matt Nair, and I kick off our statewide tour. Don't miss it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah,
I
brother,
can
like,
dig it.
Stop right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Good morning, G. Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. You know, it's chilly this morning, but I think we're going to warm up here in the next couple of days.
Well, Calvin,
it's June after.
It was 45 degrees.
Yeah, when, cold.
Yeah, man. I mean, 45, and as that, who is that guy who just, you know, in the background before we can even announce him?
It's Robin. Voice. You're Batman. I'm Robin.
Sandy Williams, my co-host. It's Tuesday, every Tuesday and Friday, if you don't know by now, the indomitable Sandy Williams is back in town. Good morning to you, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, I was pleased, actually, for the chilliness. Sarasota was an unbearable steam oven. You know, it was feels like 105 to 110 each day when I was there.
How do people, man?
I don't know. It's not bearable.
Well, it is because people live there.
Most of them.
Tolerable, is it safe to say that?
Most of them flee, I think.
Oh.
And, you know, the problem there is that when you're inside, it's refrigerated, and when you're outside, it's a steam oven. So it's sort of like, how do you get comfortable? You know, you have to wear something while, you know, the common spaces, the commercial spaces, are heavily air-conditioned to the point where it's
cold. Right.
Yeah. So, okay. I like Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, you talked about it before. Because, again, the contrast you're talking about is, what can you wear if you've got on short pants and a T-shirt and you go into a 40-degree air-conditioned place? It's too cold.
Well, it turns out 65 or 66 air-conditioned is cold, and particularly when it's 95 outside.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't get it exactly. But then again, I don't worry about how much taxes I pay so very much. There's a lot of people who flee to Florida, spend six months and one day there so they can not pay Wisconsin taxes and pay the low Florida taxes. But as far as I'm concerned, they're paying a dear price.
Did you see
they have to live there.
You see a lot of varmints?
A lot of what?
Varmints. You know, snakes and...
No, I didn't see any to speak of. But I was in paved places most of the time.
No alligators and those kind of things.
No.
You weren't around. Oh, you were around water, though.
Oh, no, there could have been alligators. I saw none.
Yeah. Let me say to Sandy, I talked a little bit about this on yesterday. I wanted to get your take on it. The Caitlin Clark saga.
Now she's not on the Olympic team.
Sandy, why are they making this thing...
Well, I think the WNBA has decided that Caitlin Clark is going to be the face of the WNBA, or at least one of the main faces. I mean, she obviously was the face of college women's basketball, and now she's in the NBA. And so, just, you know, our news media covers everything that
too much.
Yeah, too much. Whatever. If there's a news release and there's a news reel that's put out by somebody, they do it because it's easy. And what the heck? This sounds like it's a little controversy, right? Caitlin Clark not on the Olympic team. Caitlin, what do you think about this? You know, and then asking everyone in the Olympic team,
yes,
what do you think about this? Yeah.
Sandy, what does it say?
I don't care about this. I mean,
with all the other things going on that they don't focus on, well, you know, they left her off. Hey, listen, there are 12 people. She's a rookie. She's going to get many opportunities to be on the Olympic team.
Here we are talking about it, right?
I know, Sandy. Well, you know, we're talking about it because when is you haven't heard me talk about it. We haven't talked about it at all.
No, I'm just saying, you know, the you know, these leagues understand, just like social media understands, just like politicians understand, nothing better than a little bit of controversy, stir the pot, you know?
I mean, I just, every time you turn around and
well, Caitlin Clark was getting covered, at least in social media and maybe on news. You know, every time there was a tough foul against her or
right,
whatever. I mean, the league was – she is the face of the league.
No question.
Yeah.
You know, and the last thing I'll say about this is – and I said this yesterday, Sandy. I watch the WNBA again. There was a time when I did watch it, and that was many years ago, and I thought it, you know – had basically died because nobody was covering it. But there are very talented women throughout the WNBA. I mean, really, really super talented women.
Mm-hmm.
And so the society chose not to follow that because the talent level on the WNBA is really supreme, and it didn't just get supreme because one person joined it. But the media never followed that talent because they didn't have the special person, you know, with the skill set that Caitlin Clark has and the following that she has. And as you stated, this social media kind of thing that can really make or break somebody, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the name of the game today. That's how young people, you know, and by young people, I mean much younger
right,
than me and you, that's how they get served up information and follower. And it's different than the news media because it's self-selected. So, you know, when they're curating, when newspapers used to curate the news for us, now we curate it for ourselves by choosing how we want to stream, what we want to stream, what we want to see. And so that's a different process. They have to attract our attention, so we decide we want to, our process of curating it makes us decide we want to go there, we want to look at it.
So you're a guy who spends time on certain platforms. There aren't many guys of your and my demographic who spend time on social platforms. Why?
Why do I?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I would say, for instance, TikTok. TikTok is different. Anybody who watches it, the TikTok platform is different for each individual because it quickly understands what you want to look at, what you watch,
right,
and then it gives you more of it. So I get all kinds
That's
of...
That's AI, right?
Yeah, it's the built-in AI algorithms for TikTok. And so, you know, I've you watch a golf tip TikTok, and then now you're seeing a bunch of them. You
right,
watch a football replay, you get a bunch of those.
Right.
You watch political stuff, and now you're getting a bunch of politics. So for me, my TikTok channel is all about those kind of things. Now, the other people might have deeper, darker interests, but I found, and I think a lot of people have found, that TikTok in particular is a very interesting media process for that reason. And the people who want to get attention are paying a lot of attention to the TikTok media. And so the people who produce blogs and vlogs and all the rest of it are all on TikTok, and you see it there.
So it's safe to say, for those of us who have not bought into that, the world has changed, and you either, you know, come along with it or it passes you by, right?
Yeah. I mean, and also, I mean, I also do it because I kind of want to see what everyone else is doing and thinking. But it tells me that my interest in TikTok is shared by millions, hundreds of millions of people. And I think that the government action, the U.S. government action of potentially banning TikTok or requiring its sale is going to be have a real backlash. Because if TikTok were to suddenly shut down, there would be a lot of people who would be angry about it.
Yeah. Does the government really care whether or not the citizenry is angry?
I think they do. I think maybe at some point today we'll talk about it. But I think that our government has evolved to deal with the evolving industry, the evolving scale of corporations, the evolving scale of our country, and much of our government is very importantly needed in order for us to operate well, and appropriate regulation is badly needed so that we have competitive marketplaces, so we don't have monopolies, so we have safe nursing homes and safe hospitals, safe medicine, safe food, all sorts of things. And my fear is that those who are currently against government talk frequently about trying to cut out all this, quote, unnecessary regulation. They never bother to list the regulations that are unnecessary. They allow everyone in the audience to think about some regulation that was inconvenient for them that they wish wasn't there, and say, yeah, let's get rid of that. But the fact is that, and I'm not saying 100% of regulation is sound or doesn't need to be rethought, but our government and its ability to properly regulate us, our economy, our society, our products, all of that is vital to the, as we have evolved, it's all vital to our sustenance.
Well, you know, Sandy, regulations have become a dirty word on one side of the coin. And whether people understand it or not, you know, we're at the point where people don't even want to understand it. Regulations are put in place to make sure you have clean water.
Exactly.
To make sure you have clean air.
Sure. I mean, you know, polychlorinated bisphenol, PCBs would probably still be around if there wasn't regulation to deal with it. The problems of a whole bunch of industrial chemicals that were discovered through governmental processes and then regulated, and we'd still be having those problems.
Can you imagine, Sandy, you and I, you know, when you walk down on the Riverwalk, the Milwaukee River, you remember when the tanneries were around.
Yeah.
And the foam that was on the rivers.
Well, and the chemicals that were in the rivers. My first 10 years of law practice was in the environmental law field. I wrote a memo in 1972 that suddenly made me the environmental law expert in the law firm. And I know very well what the environmental conditions were. At the time, the paper industry, which was the main one that was impacted in Wisconsin, actually embraced the laws because it was going to be applied equally to all of them, and they all understood how bad things had become.
Hold that thought, Sandy. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. He's back. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
It's fair time across Wisconsin, and with more than 70 county fairs, 3 district fairs, and the state fair, there's something for everyone to enjoy, including classic carnival games like skee ball made in Wisconsin. You just roll that ball up a ramp and use enough strength to hop the ball into one of the bullseye rings, then add up your points. So what is the actual object of skee-ball? To show off your bowling-like skills to your friends? To work on your attention span? Or to win a prize, like a stuffed animal?
The answer coming up. Skee-Ball is close to 110 years old. It's made in Pulaski, Wisconsin by Baytech Games. The company itself originally started in a basement. Now, do you know the object of the Skee-Ball game? It really is to add up your points and win a prize like a stuffed animal. One fun slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to a Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My co-host Sandy Williams is back. And Sandy, the music.
Well, I picked music from election years, and I started out thinking, well, I'll pick music from the most recent election years, starting with 2000 and 2004 and 2008. And then I decided I wasn't ready for rap. Because it turns out that the top music in most of those years fell into the rap category. So I decided to start at 1960. We can work our way into the rap era. But so we're looking at election year top music.
Let me ask you, and our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Regulations, this dirty word. People have made regulations a dirty word, especially those on the right side of the ledger. I remember, you know, as a young boy, they used to have lead in the gasoline.
Sure.
And it was causing all sorts. People have either forgotten that, Sandy, or they don't want to think about it.
Ethyl.
Yes. You want lead or leaded or unleaded.
Yeah.
And you had a choice. And I don't know, Sandy, if they knew then the impact of it. But once they did find out and they started regulating, there was a push against them trying to regulate what type of fuel they were going to produce.
Sure. I mean, you know, there's always change is difficult, right? And so, you know, but, you know, there's a bunch of people back in the 1920s who were painting radium on the dials of watches who got terribly injured from it, and regulation is what saved them. I mean, regulation has its place. I think what people are confounding in their mind is some of the social movements that feel like regulation but aren't government regulation. So, for instance, political correctness, okay? Political correctness was never imposed by the government. It was imposed by society. Much of it was imposed by large corporations, which are sort of the alternative government that we all deal with, but it's not a government. It's private, okay? And, you know, so we had political correctness, which has turned into being described as woke, much of it. Much of what is described as woke is stuff that's happening in private places, in universities, in corporations. You know, the use of pronouns, the thing that is seemingly most discussed in woke, has never been imposed by government. There's no regulations associated with it. And so, you know, this movement against regulation, which is Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court had written law review articles against and about the administrative state. So some, you know, the administrative state is something that really is the outgrowth of essentially the New Deal. When there became the Federal Drug Administration, the Federal Drug Administration had to create rules in order to implement the laws that were meant to be implemented to protect people about safe food and safe drugs. But the government simply told the agency, you've got to figure this out and you've got to issue rules. And that became the main way you deal with the increasingly complexified society we have, with bigger and bigger industry and changing commerce. And rules are absolutely necessary. You know, we've got to have regulations. We couldn't operate without regulations. Of course, there are regulations that people run into that they don't like, they would prefer not to have. And the whole industry, I was a regulatory lawyer. There's a whole industry out there of lawyers who are working on making sure that the government doesn't implement regulations that are either unnecessary or unlawful under the statutes in which they're issuing them. But we need them. And we need them because society has evolved, because corporations have become very big. You know, we need Tom, Dick, and Mary need to be protected from what corporations might otherwise choose to serve up to them because of their market power.
You know, Sandy, I think people fail to understand the regulations for the most part are there to protect the American people.
Yeah.
There was a time, you remember, I remember, when seatbelts. You didn't have to have seat belts.
Well, you know, libertarians would argue that what we ought to do is tell people about the dangers of not wearing seat belts and let them choose.
Yeah, but I've said before there was even seat belts in cars.
Yeah, right, there weren't even seat belt in cars.
Right.
You know, now there are. Then there became seat belts in cars, and then after that it became mandatory to wear the seat belts.
Right.
And certainly seat belts in cars, everyone should agree about that. Whether you're a libertarian or not, you ought to have the choice to put one on. And when I said that corporations might serve up things we don't like, I'm not saying they would do it maliciously. They would just do it potentially unknowingly, but also because that's the way it was done. It's expensive to change. People have always done it. I mean, you know, we have these forever chemicals now that we're worried about that seem to be potentially a big worry. And, you know, they were inadvertently introduced into us and into the environment by corporations. But now someone has to look out for that problem. Same with polychlorinated PCBs. They were viewed as good things by industry until people realized the downside danger, the health danger associated with them. They needed to be regulated, and it was regulation that began to solve for it. Our rivers needed to be regulated, or they were going to continue to be sewers. Milwaukee River was literally an industrial sewer.
It used to stink.
Until 1970, until the cleanup began. Now there are fish in the Milwaukee River. There are salmon swimming upstream. I live on the Milwaukee River way upstream. There are salmon all the way up to where I live.
So here's a text message. What happened to gun regulations?
Well, there you go. I mean, there are some people want to take the regulation they don't like, or the one that and extrapolate from that to all regulation. Okay, people, you know, the Supreme Court has looked at and worried about the Second Amendment and gun regulation. I personally think that the Supreme Court in the 1950s jumped the shark about what the Second Amendment meant with respect to the right to bear arms. But okay. That's a conflict between the Constitution and regulations, and the constitutional arguments have won primarily. But, you know, that's all about the dynamic of which regulations, not no regulations. And my concern about the discussion now about attacking the administrative state, which has morphed into being called the dark, you know, the deep state, is an attack, a broadside, against government at large. And that's not going to work. You know, the right that thinks that they want to attack the deep state and get us rid of all of these bureaucrats other than the ones that are loyal to the elected president are going to find that, number one, that doesn't work. And number two, it's going to be a very uncomfortable place to live.
So this thing called Project 2025 that has been put together by Republican think tanks and is being pushed on the American people, the American people don't really understand the impact of those things. When we return, Sandy, I want you to talk a little bit about what that means, because people don't understand, and they can say, well, I support the Republicans and I agree with this. They don't know what's in this, and if you can, you know, elaborate a little bit on it. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Ann Jacobs is the new chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. She won a two-year term by unanimous vote yesterday. The panel oversees Wisconsin's election process, which is run by clerks at the local level. Wisconsin small business owners say they're worried about proposed cuts to the Affordable Care Act. Krissa Ostenzo owns an optometry clinic with her husband in Ladysmith. She says the premium cap from recent adjustments put health insurance within people's reach.
We always just had to encourage our employees to get health insurance and try to pay them enough to do it. And it really wasn't until the 8% that we succeeded in that. And they started all having health insurance.
The temporary ACA premium caps are due to expire at the end of next year. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Northwestern High School in Maple is long overdue for an update on their turf field, and a Cenovus Energy donation will help them get there. According to a Northern News Now report, the field hasn't been updated in over 15 years, making it the oldest turf football field in the entire state. Thanks to their fundraising efforts and the $50,000 donation from Cenovus Energy, school officials say they're now just a couple of weeks away from having the newest field in the state. The new field will also allow the school to host playoff games. The Duluth Public Library is hosting its annual book sale this week. According to a WDIO report, the book sale will be open to the public on Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and Thursday for bag sale day in select rooms from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Funding raised through the book sale will go towards supporting other library events throughout the year, like seasonal reading programs, STEM programming, and a free outdoor summer entertainment program for kids. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. When given the chance to ride or die this past weekend, the box office chose to ride, thanks to the latest installment of Bad Boys Ride or Die. The Will Smith comeback vehicle and fourth film in the Bad Boys franchise raked in $56 million at the domestic box office and topped $105 million globally. A nice boost for theater owners who are hoping for more good fortune next weekend with the release of Inside Out 2. The animated sequel is expected to pull in $110 million globally. Kid and family-friendly films have kept the box office at least somewhat respectable this summer with the strength of Garfield and John Krasinski's If. Rounding out the top five from this past weekend were Garfield in second place, If was number three, horror film and directorial debut for Ishana Shyamalan's The Watchers opened in fourth place, and it was Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes at number five. Bad Boys' 97% approval rating with audiences should give the film and box office legs for weeks to come. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers and thunderstorms with a high near 75. For tonight, mostly clear, lows around 55. Showers and thunderstorms possible for your Wednesday, otherwise mostly sunny, and highs near 86. For Wednesday night, more showers and thunderstorms.
Currently, 56 degrees.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Meeting you to celebrate our great state.
It's On the Road with Jane and Todd.
We are going to be broadcasting from places where you can come as we're doing both of our shows. Say hi, and I'm so looking forward to having the chance to sit down and talk to folks.
And that's the fun part of it, is just having conversations with real people.
It's Matt and Air on Air and the Todd Alba Show together on the road.
June 11th through the 14th from 10 to 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, we'll discuss how Republican legislators took a bipartisan plan to improve literacy and turned it into yet another unfunded mandate.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Round, round, get around, I get around. Yeah, get around, round, round, I get around.
All right. Welcome back to a Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. That means my co-host Sandy Williams is in the studio. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. And the music is about what, Sandy?
Election year politics. That music, the Beach Boys heralded the Lyndon Johnson election in 1964.
I was going to say Richard Nixon, but it was right around in there.
64.
Yeah. So, Sandy, enough phone lines open at 844-967-2789. We've heard people talk about Project 2025. And so it's everywhere. People are hearing it and talking about it. It's over 900 pages. For the most part, the average American knows nothing about that, doesn't have the time, doesn't understand those things. But this seems to be something that's frightening to especially Democrats and others who have been hearing and reading about this, and some who've even read the 900 pages. What is Project 2025?
Well, it's been put together by various of the conservative organizations, think tank type organizations. The Federalist Society had a big part in it.
Bradley Foundation.
One of the leaders of it was the head of the, a guy named Vogt, I think, who was the head of the Office of Management and Budget for the last couple of years of the Trump administration. It's people who know a lot about government and how it works, smart people who are looking at ways that the president can use his executive power to accomplish a whole lot of things, many of which are probably right at the edge of the envelope of the power of the executive order in the presidency, but they'll be testing it. And the objective of it is, I think, altogether misplaced. So the objective of it is to, you know, what people talk about when they talk about the deep state is they're talking about the bureaucrats in government, the people who are there on a career basis, who are beyond politics, okay, and are doing their job. And it's because they're beyond politics that they seem to have a life onto themselves. And there are people who believe that this deep state of career workers, these bureaucrats, as they would call them, are essentially running the country. And they're running the country in the manner they want to. And the right, at least, would accuse bureaucrats of primarily being that capital L word, liberal. And so they want to take on the notion of bureaucracy, and particularly then the civil servant concept, because what they want to have is a bunch of people who are loyal to the president plugged into jobs such that the policies of the presidency can be passed on down into the agencies at the deepest levels, and so that the policies of our government would be managed very directly by the political process. Well, that's what we had when we had what was called patronage. That's what we had when politics was called pork barrel. When in 1900, when someone got elected, they fired everyone who was in place and hired all their crony friends into all of the political jobs. It's how many cities have operated. It's how Chicago developed the political machine. And so what they're really talking about in Project 2025 is creating a national government that is a political machine that will be very responsive to whoever it is that gets elected. And by responsive, I mean loyal, okay? And that might be a concept that seems acceptable to those who have been upset or agitated by regulation when it runs into them and they find it uncomfortable. But they're going to be very uncomfortable in a government that has a pendulum-swinging policy process, that has people who were civil servants replaced by people who are political loyalists and political operatives. And we move from competent government to totally politicized government. And that was, the reform movement in government in the 1900s was to get rid of that very process. Our memories seem to be short, and the whole Project 2025, if you read it, looks like a reactionary effort to try and return us to the Wild West days of total patronage politics.
So Sandy, before we go to the phone lines, a lot of Texas texts, and that really, you know, kind of encapsulate what it is you're talking about. But I, before I get to any of those, I want to go to, you said that these bureaucrats are beyond politics. Politics put them there.
Well, bureaucrats are not
selected by.
No. Those jobs.
Oh, they're already there.
Those jobs, the selected by politics jobs, don't go very deep in the agency. And below that, it's all done pursuant to a civil service process of hiring. And it is pretty much beyond politics. It's people who want to take government jobs. When you go to work for the Department of Motor Vehicles in the state of Wisconsin, you don't get appointed by somebody. You go and apply for a job, and you have to pass through the process of getting hired. And what this 2020-25 thing is trying to do is put the process of political appointees deeper into the agencies so that more and more people in an agency are directly responsive, essentially, to the White House.
So you're basically usurping democracy and the government itself.
Well, you're usurping the competence of government, and the filter of political corruption that used to exist in patronage politics. You're trying to revert to that, and get away from competence in government, because there are those who believe that people who are lifelong government employees tend to be people who believe in government. They go to work for it, and therefore might be. Gosh, they might be liberals.
So let me prattle off some of these texts. The dawn of autocracy, laws based on religion, not the same. Trump has no plans on leaving at the end of 4 years. In the same way he was able to have his family in his cabinet. These I don't think that the people who support Republicans and Donald Trump right now have any concept at all of what it is they would be opening up by saying, yes, I'm voting for these people. I don't think, Sandy, that they really understand the magnitude of what's going to happen if they open up that Pandora's box.
Well, part of the 2025 plan also involves what Samuel Alito was heard to talk. He was talking
just
a couple
day.
Of days ago,
yeah.
to a bogus reporter who was talking. Well, it was a reporter who was there,
right,
posing as a member of the group, and he was talking about how we needed to return the country to godliness. Okay, I don't know what that means, but I don't think it's a good idea necessarily. I think godliness can be a fine idea for people to choose and to be involved with. Returning a country to godliness, you know, my question is, if our country somehow, way down the road, became not a majority of Christians, but a majority of some other religion. Let's say Muslims.
Hindus.
Yeah.
Buddhists.
And when it becomes that majority, how will the Christians feel about returning the country to a land of Allah, okay,
or right.
a land
yes.
of the Sharia, yeah, so Hare Krishnas. You know, what makes us think that we would be comfortable in a country that is driven by a particular religion or a religious outlook when it might change and evolve?
Get the shoes
in the future.
On the other foot.
Yeah, it's a bit like worrying about setting up a government that's going to be highly responsive to conservative politicians, because you know what? It'll be highly responsive to liberal politicians as well.
Let's bring Mike in from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. How you doing, man?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call, as always. What a beautiful morning. You know, a couple things very, very quickly. The Project 2025 is also referred to as a presidential transition project. I say that because Project 2025 sounds kind of innocuous, a label.
Yeah, really nothing to fear. Nothing to fear.
And especially to the far right, that you know they have a sixth grade at best reading capability in general. So you know we should call it an undemocratic can of worms project. Or you could call it something else other than Project 2025. It is a top-heavy, undemocratic, unfriendly to a republic really a wish list of what they're going to do if they get power. It talks about ignoring the democratic process and just putting, like you were talking about earlier, taking thousands, tens of thousands of people, removing them from government and putting their appointees in. It's a takeover, and we should call it that.
Well, in fact, some have looked at it, read it, and have concluded from it, and I think there's language in it that suggests this, that it essentially talks about a post-constitutional view of things. In other words, that the Constitution, that we have evolved beyond the Constitution, and we need to find ways to bend the Constitution in a manner that allows the objectives of the Project 2025 to be achieved.
Right. Well, and you know, Madison was very boisterous about it. You know, he talked about the need to regulate and the need for tariffs, because at one point, I think before the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, our entire government was funded through the regulations and the tariffs that were in place throughout the 1800s. So, you know, there's no doubt that our founding fathers, and it's in Federalist 10, as I recall, where they went into this great length, the need to diversify and manage and regulate big business will always be there. It's up to the people here to keep our eyes on this and don't let these big companies become too big to fail, too big to jail. And guess what? That's where we're at today.
Well, we should understand that the Constitution was written before the heavy onslaught of the Industrial Revolution, before there were big factories, before there were the whole process of the heavily industrialized America that occurred post Civil War, and the situations that arose. The stockyards, Upton Sinclair wrote about some of the things that were the result of the Industrial Revolution, for instance, the stockyards in Chicago and the conditions of them and what was going on, the safety of the meat coming out of them, the safety of the workers working in them. These were all things that, and it was his book, actually, that had a lot to do with the establishment of regulations, a waking up that big business had changed. There were, you know, we were no longer an agrarian country with farms as the primary source of income, and we had moved into a different situation where corporations were essentially governments, small governments onto themselves, and in which people's lives were heavily impacted by decisions which were being made privately and some of which needed to be overseen by a governmental process.
Yes, indeed. Thanks. I think it's a very important point.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for the call. You know, the fear in all of this is that people who are leaning towards voting for Republicans, Sandy reminds me of Newt Gingrich in Contract for America and what was in it. And so we saw some massive changes taking place once the Republicans came out with that contract for America. I call it the contract on America, but people didn't realize that it sounds harmless. You know, this 2025 thing sounds like nothing to really worry about. But it's what's in it.
Absolutely. And what's in it is actually quite revolutionary. It's a plan for changing government dramatically.
All right, 844-967-2789. You know, when on the other side, we're going to talk about the fact that Democrats launch an effort to counter conservative sweeping Project 2025 on the Earl Ingram Show.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ communities and allies?
The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
The annual June Pride event in Milwaukee is the oldest and largest in the state. U.S. News and World Report also includes it as one of the top 20 LGBTQ plus celebrations in the country. But the parade and several-day festival started as a one-day protest. The Milwaukee demonstration in June of 1970 was timed around the first anniversary of the brutal police raid at the Stonewall Inn in New York City. It's also the first time people showed support for gay rights in Wisconsin, sparking a social awakening that continues today. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, that's the Rolling Stones.
Jumpin' Jack Flash. And Jumpin' Jack Flash.
Bill Clinton?
1968. That was Richard Nixon.
Oh, Richard Nixon. Oh, yeah, I was thinking about this movie called Jumpin' Jack, something that I associated with that. But yeah,
1968,
you know, one of the most watershed moments in the history of our nation, 1968.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everything came apart. All the wheels fell off. Let me ask you, 844-967-2789. We're talking about Project 2025. And for those of you who are conservatives, the phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Do you know anything about Project 2025? And if you and what you are hearing, does it matter to you of some of the sweeping changes that they are proposing if, in fact, the Republicans win? This is in today's The Hill. The Democrats are alarmed by both the scope of Project 2025, which touches on virtually every facet of American life, and the policy changes it proposes, including the elimination of certain federal agencies, the overhaul of others, and the stocking of all departments with loyalists to conservative causes. The critics say the conservative playbook originating from the Heritage Foundation poses a threat to the very workings of government and democracy that have presided in Washington since the nation's foundings, demanding an orchestrated counter-strategy to ensure it never gets off the ground. They're creating a new task force with that goal in mind. Americans don't understand just how far down the road to this dystopic right-wing theocracy we are right now at, said Representative Jared Huffman, a Democrat from California, who is spearheading the effort. And that, for me at least, is the priority, making sure people know it and making sure we're ready to confront it. Sandy, the Heritage Foundation has been at the quick and ready for a long time. The whole purpose of the Heritage Foundation is to do what?
Well, I think the Heritage Foundation's, if you look at its underpinnings, it was designed to undo the New Deal. That was aimed at trying to change what they think is a government that's too big and overreaches. And it turned into, along, you know, the Tea Party movement sort of pushed it in the direction of becoming, and Grover Norquist and the ideology of the right shifted to being simply anti-government. You know, it started with Reagan's rhetoric, and it evolved into an actual ideological anti-government movement. And I think that's what we're faced with right now, is a movement that's essentially against government. And the problem is that it's what it's really attacking is the need for competence in government. Because the idea that you can simply replace a bunch of people in government with ideologically sound people who are conservative by nature, there's nothing wrong with people who are conservative by nature. What we need, however, in government is competence, okay? We need to competently regulate drugs. We need to competently regulate airplanes so that they're safe. We need to competently have a FEMA that can respond to emergencies in a competent fashion. We need to make sure that there is competence in government. Competence in government requires career people in government. You can't learn a job and do it well in a four-year stint if that's all you've got. And so, you know, that was what the basis of civil servants was all about. Wisconsin was at the leading edge of establishing civil servants as the basis for sound government and for competent government. And now we have a direct attack on that very principle. And I think it's just based on short memory. I mean, it's people who think that they want to limit government. I don't think they have an end game in mind. They can't tell us what government's going to look like after they're done. It's an attack on government without an end game that describes what government will be.
So 844-967-2789 is the number. You know, my co-host Sandy Williams is on. So, Sandy, here's what I think the people who are voting Republican don't get and don't understand. They've been fed this, you know, freeloading people, and Democrats are all there to support freeloaders and people with their hands out. And that's all they see government as, an aid to allowing people who don't want to work or people who, you know, just want something for nothing. And they've been able to build that kind of belief into the minds of some Americans. And so that's what they see when they see the left. That's all they see is a bunch of freeloaders. They don't understand that the magnitude of what's in 2025 goes far beyond just the so-called freeload segment of the population.
Yeah, let me just pose something that for rural America to consider. For instance, transmission lines, big transmission lines that cut big swaths through rural real estate. And there's going to be a huge 345 kilovolt transmission line built through your backyard, through the middle of your farmland, okay, that's going to destroy the productivity of a bunch of your farmland and completely change the aesthetic, okay? Regardless of your politics, you won't think that's a good idea, okay? You'll want to at least make sure that you're properly compensated at a high level for the loss you're going to experience. Well, you know who you turn to at that point to deal with this big corporation that wants to build the transmission line? Government, and those who are the regulators within government. And that's just an example. There are lots of corollaries.
All right, 844-967-2789, hang on. You're tuned in to The Earl Ingram Show. It's Tuesday edition of The Earl Ingram Show with my co-host, Sandy Williams. 844-967-2789.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Crude and Dom.
The jury is out in the Hunter Biden trial as the weaponized Department of Justice seeks retribution against Joe Biden's son. Doesn't make sense. I know. Devil's advocates.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6. Matt Nair on air.
I've never played this game. Uno is great because kids can play against adults without being overmatched, and adults can play it together and still have fun.
Robert from McFarland flipped a table during an Uno game.
Maybe this is why I don't play these games.
Oh, I would love to play Uno with you.
You want to have an Uno fest?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
We could, like, have an Uno Fest for charity or something.
That'd be cool.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.